from the victim outside court.
During my time inside the shallow grave where I was buried alive, I feared that my life was at an end and that I was going to die. I still have nightmares that Martin will come back to find me and kill me. I really hope that no one else will ever experience what I went through on that day in May.
The world's watching for signs of turbulence following the death of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il. The man who ruled the highly secretive country for 17 years had a heart attack. State media has proclaimed his 20-something son, Kim Jong-un, his great successor. British Foreign Secretary William Hague hopes it will mark a turning point.
We hope that their new leadership will recognise that engagement with the international community offers the best prospect of improving the lives of the North Korean people.
There's no word on whether a deal on public sector pension reforms has been reached between the government and unions. Ministers had said an agreement would be needed by 3 p.m. to avoid strikes in the new year. Nick Clegg has set out plans to introduce elections for the House of Lords. The Deputy PM says the changes will create a more open and fair society. The rail regulators ruled Network Rail breached its licence over late trains. The Office for Rail Regulation says long-distance punctuality is currently 4% below its target. The Scottish Premier League have announced they're relaxing their rules on standing at football grounds. They'll now consider applications from clubs who want to pilot safe standing areas. Scotland isn't bound by rules that require top-flight stadia in England to be all-seater following the Hillsborough disaster. That's the latest. I'm Tim Jones.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM. Listening to Gabby on Drive here on Phoenix 98 FM. How are you today? Right, coming up on my show today, kicking us off is going to be my interview and discussion with Steve Cook. He is a local artist and he also runs painting classes. So I want to know all about those and I want to know all about the sort of art that he's interested in. I'm going to ask him his favourite media and ask him where his creative career, if you like, or creative passion for art began. So tune in for that. I'll be speaking to him very shortly. He's currently sitting in the studio as we speak. Also coming up on my show today, I'm going to be bringing you regular travel updates and some local events and, of course, some things I prepared earlier. So tune in and if you want to get in touch with me today, it would be great to hear from you. You can email me here in the studio. It's radio@phoenixfm.com. You can tweet me. I am Mindful to Move on Twitter and you'll find me on Facebook. My name is Gabriella Clark. So feel free to get in touch. Here's some Sugar Babes and then I'll be bringing you some travel updates.
7 hours since you went away. 11 coffees, Ricky Lake on play. But late at night when I'm feeling blue, I sell my ass before I think of you. 7 hours since you closed the door. Started a diet, got a manicure. Erase your number from my telephone. Yeah.
FM Travel News with the hair company Crown Street, Brentwood.
There are delays on the M25 clockwise between junction 29 and 30. Average speed is 25 miles per hour and it's taking an extra 15 minutes. Delays on the A13 eastbound between the Five Bells Interchange in Basildon and the Saddlers Farm roundabout. If you're heading in that direction, the Ongar Road here is slow in both directions at the Wilson's Corner. You'll also find, if you're heading towards Chelmsford, that there's heavy traffic on the B1137 Springfield Road southbound in Chelmsford at the A1099 Victoria Road Junction. Wash Road is still closed between the Lower Road Junction and the Prospect Way Junction because of bridge maintenance work. And I don't know why it hasn't come up on my travel reports, but I do know that there are temporary traffic lights on the Ingrave Road as you approach, well, I suppose as you leave or approach Brentwood, just on the Ingrave Road between the traffic lights and Wilson's Corner. I know that one for a fact, if they're still there, but they were there this morning and they were there about an hour ago.
If you have news of the queues, 01277 849931. Phoenix FM Travel with the hair company Crown Street Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222864.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Recycling. Oops, there's that word again. Wouldn't it be good to be green and reduce the carbon footprint of your business without lots of hard work? Well, recyclingyourit.co.uk have just made things easy. They will collect absolutely any electrical office equipment, help recycle it, and because they are fully licensed, guarantee that nothing will go to landfill, making your workplace a better place for the planet. Reduce your business carbon footprint. Recycle without the extra work. Visit recyclingyourit.co.uk for more information.
Join me, Jules Batazzi, for Body Talk in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital every Tuesday at 7pm. Whether you want to improve your fitness, discover complementary therapies, get the lowdown on the latest surgical breakthroughs, or simply hear all the latest news from the world of health, you'll find it all on Body Talk. It's the show that can inspire you and motivate you, and maybe even change your life. That's Body Talk in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital every Tuesday night at 7pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Hey Mark.
Yeah?
I'm having a party. Wanna come?
Nah, I don't think so, baby.
Oh, come on. It's gonna be lots of fun.
Yeah? Huh.
And that was Shania Twain, Party for Two. Don't forget that very shortly indeed, I'm going to be speaking to Steve Cook. He is a local artist and he instructs people. He runs painting classes. So I want to hear all about that. Let's have a look at some local events before we do so.
Phoenix FM Travel News with The Hair Company.
wrong button.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Okay, something for your diaries to do in January if you're still in a festive mood and you haven't eaten too many mince pies. There's a Songs of Praise carol service at St Edmund and St Mary's Church on the High Street in Ingatestone. It's a service of the 10 favourite hymns as voted for by the church's congregation, followed by mince pies and sausage rolls. It's £1 for each carol voted for. Proceeds will go towards the upkeep of the church. If you need to know more, contact Teresa on 07540 801029, or have a look at our website where you'll find our full range of events at allthews.phoenixfm.com.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
And I'm now joined in the studio as promised by Steve Cook. Hello, Steve.
Good afternoon, Gabby.
That's good. Your mic is working. I have had bad cases of equipment failing on me. Yes, how
Not
are
today,
you today?
Hopefully. Yeah, I'm okay.
Did you get here okay? Because dodgy.
There's traffic lights all over the place.
Yes,
roads
traffic.
Being dug up.
I know.
Horrible weather.
Not really a good time
Gusty
of year
drivers.
For it, is it?
No.
No, not at all. Now, you are a local artist.
I am.
And you run classes. You're
My powers, I lose them outside the perimeter of the M25.
Oh, really?
I'm that local. Yeah, they just go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And you were, we'll come on to this, but you did actually study art locally as well.
I did.
Which is quite nice. But I'll go back right to the beginning. Where did your passion for art begin? When did you realise that you liked art?
I don't know. I kind of always did it. Earliest memories at home would be with sketch pads and boxes of pencils and things. And I'd just be drawing. I'd draw all the time. I can just remember sort of lying on the floor at home with my paper in front of me, just drawing, anything, cowboys, Indians, rock stars, footballers, imaginary landscapes, anything. I was just always with a pencil, and it's always just the one subject that was, dearest to me. And my parents encouraged me.
They did?
Yeah,
very much so.
Did
they say you're very good at drawing? Or
they did, yeah. I don't think they were patronising me, because, I mean, it was one of the rare skills that I had. I didn't have that many, but I was tolerably good at drawing and painting and things.
Really? So at that time, did you have any other talents, just out of interest? Were you into anything else like music or...?
I got into music very much to listen to when I was in my... music hit me when I was 11, because when I was 11 was 1963... And that was, as people recall, a great time for music, because you had the Beatles, the Stones, the Kinks, the Who. Never been a better time for British music. And
yeah.
I was just totally immersed in all of that. So probably lots of that informed my artwork, because I'd be doing all these drawings of John Lennon and Ray Davis and people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, well, there you go. It gave you... It kind of inspired your creativity
to
flourish. When did you first begin to get into paint?
Probably that would be at school, more in secondary school, when we would have set projects and things and you were introduced to media. I'd probably use things like poster paint and stuff at home and a little set of watercolours, but really didn't know how to use them properly. So you just, I mean, the nice thing about when you're younger is that you don't have too many inhibitions. So you get your set of paints and you'll quite blithely and happily paint away, and you're not overly worried about technique or perspective or proportion or stuff like that. It's only when you get a little bit older that you suddenly think, oh, it's not looking right. And then you start to become maybe a little bit more inhibited and you start to worry about things looking real. And so it's probably school days, you know, second or third form of school, start doing some painting.
Do you like things to look real? Are you into that?
Of my own pictures, I tend to work in quite a sort of photorealistic sort of way. Like this morning, I've been, sounds very odd, but I've been sort of sitting in my little squalid studio painting a pair of shoes. I do these very, very shiny shoes, and I paint them in quite a hyper-realistic sort of way. But I appreciate all manner of forms of art, whether they're massive abstracts or very translucent watercolours. They don't have to look real for me to enjoy them as pieces of artwork. But as far as my own pieces of work go, I tend to work in quite a realistic photographic sort of way.
What about with your classes?
My classes,
Or do you have a range?
I have a range of classes. I run 12 classes. I do teaching at the excellent facility in Hornchurch, Fairkites Arts Centre, which is absolutely wonderful. It's opposite the Queen's Theatre in Hornchurch, and it's a building that houses all manner of creativity, from painting to pottery to jewellery making to calligraphy, creative writing, Morris dancing. It's desperately creative. But I tend to find that the classes I run there, some of them are watercolour classes, and the watercolour classes, I demonstrate pictures. So I'll have a picture maybe of a bunch of flowers or something, and I will go through that with a set of students. I'll paint the background, they'll paint the background, I'll paint the flowers, they'll paint the flowers. And that's a good way to instil technique in people, because watercolour is very much a medium that can be technique-driven. And really the essence of those classes is for people to learn technique, so that then, once they've assembled a range of techniques, they can press golf on their own and work in a more creative, personal way.
Oh, really? So on the subject of watercolour, would you suggest that if someone was coming to one of your classes for the first time, someone that hadn't basically done art since they'd been at school, but they knew that they'd really, really liked it at school, perhaps they were persuaded to indulge in a more what they like to call academic study.
Some people indeed have wretched art teachers. Wretched art teachers are responsible for all sorts of calamities in people's lives. I've had so many students who say, well, I was told I was no good at art, so I actually haven't done it for the last 40 years. Well, that's desperate. You don't do that kind of stuff.
And anyway, art is all about the opinion.
It's very subjective, very personal.
Yeah, exactly. Would you suggest that they came to one of your watercolour classes if they were quite inexperienced?
Yeah, and that's absolutely no problem. Watercolour is quite a good way to start, because probably of all the media, it is the one medium that doesn't require too much kit. Oil painting, you need perhaps things like linseed oil, spirit, lots of sort of, different brushes and things. Watercolour, you can just come along with a little painting set, a couple of brushes, and you're off and running. And what I try to do is to introduce people to basic techniques, like using washes, mixing colour, using various techniques. And so you can be virtually beginner, but at the end of a term maybe, which is 10 weeks or so, hopefully you've got a grasp or a handle on some sort of basic ideas. And the fact that I tend to sort of do a range of different pictures. It could be anything from a couple of boats to a bunch of flowers to a little harbour scene to a windmill. They're all quite realistic sort of things. But it enables people perhaps to just learn how to put paint onto the paper and hopefully give them some confidence, say, to go and pursue work of their own, which is maybe a little bit more personal.
Where are you showing them the picture of what you want them to paint? Do you have a big picture, or do you paint the picture?
I structure it in a certain way. That's an excellent question. What I tend to do is I get source material from all over the place. I'll go through the internet, I'll look through loads of books. I don't do as much work of my own as I would like to, simply because I'm too busy really teaching classes. And I would love to be sort of standing out in the middle of a field, actually in this weather, no I wouldn't, with an easel painting, but I'd hate it. But I get lots of different pictures, and what I would tend to do is I'll produce a line drawing. So a simple line drawing accompanied by a colour photocopy of the image that we're going to do. And I'll give each one of those to the students. Okay. And the classes range in size from 12 to 28. I've got 28 in one class, which is going to be dreadful. But and I will then demonstrate a picture. I'll have done an original picture, and I will just put in, say, the sky. Say, this is how we do the sky. You want to mix up three colours, you want to wet the paper, you want to use a big brush, and I will demonstrate that, and then the students will do the same. But there's always scope within that for them to do something of their own. I won't force them to strictly say, you've got to use this blue, or you've got to use this grey. If you want to use different colours, or you take a different approach, that's fine. But this is maybe the way that I would advise you to try something like this. But within the structure of that, feel free to go beyond it.
Yeah.
And it tends to work, fairly well.
And do people... my next question is going to be about easels.
Okay.
Do you have a range of different types of easels? So can people choose to stand, or do they all sit at easels? What do you...
You tend to find in watercolour the sort of easel that you want. You don't want anything with too... acute an angle. If you have something that's virtually upright, like a screen or something like that, or a canvas on a very heavy or a very upright easel, and you're using very wet colour, you tend to find that given the forces of gravity,
the paint will just run down
and it will become uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And for some sort of painting, if you're working in quite a free, expressive way, that's absolutely super. But if you're fairly new to it and you're painting in maybe a more traditional sort of way, the angle of an easel wants to be something like about 20 degrees, so that there's a slight element of the gravity where the paint comes down the paper, and it's better than having it dead flat, but not too upright. So about a 20 degree angle. I mean, just a drawing board with a couple of books underneath it will do the job.
Oh, right, OK. So that's kind of recommended. So is this a specific type of easel recommended for watercolour?
Just a table easel you can get. Yeah. I mean, there's loads of different ones. I used to have a chap in one of my classes easel. And he used to make these things. And he was great. He used to knock them out for £5 a time, you know. And they're just basically just a piece of wood or a piece of MDF with a little hinge at the back and just something to put your paper on, just something so it you know, is off the level. Will do perfectly. Doesn't have to be anything terribly fancy or expensive.
Right, okay. And do you also do acrylic classes? I nearly said courses.
No, indeed. The classes are basically divided into two sorts. There's the watercolour ones that we've discussed, where I'll tend to demonstrate. The other classes I run, which are ever so popular, are ones which are more workshop-based. And they're ones where people work in the medium of their choice. Oils, acrylics, pastel, pencil, watercolour, whatever.
Okay.
But they're not structured in a teaching way by me. I don't stand up and say, this is what we're going to do. People tend to perhaps work with their own ideas a little bit. So I've got people who are painting portraits, people painting landscapes, people working in quite an abstract sort of way. And they can be working in acrylics, they could be working in oils. And my role within those classes is probably to act as some sort of facilitator or advisor, and I would just talk to people individually about their piece of work, maybe saying something like, well, perhaps if you use the paint a bit more thickly there, or perhaps a bit more red in with the colour, or perhaps if you worked on a larger scale, or perhaps if you looked at the work of such and such an artist. So I'll hopefully act as some sort of facilitator where I can introduce people to other elements and other possibilities that they can pursue to try and really broaden their experience of painting. Perhaps they're more appropriate for somebody with a bit more experience.
Yeah. Okay. I'm keeping up with you so far. thank you so much for everything that you've shared. I am going to pause because I know what I want to ask next, but I want to construct it in the right way.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to give myself a breather. Doesn't sound like you need one though. So I'm just going to play a song for all of the listeners, just so that I can decide. I have a very if anyone listens to my shows regularly, you'll know that I have a very creative mind. I'm always trying to explain myself, which is ridiculous. I'm very analytical of things, and I'm a real searcher for information. So I'm going to have a little search for my information, and then I'm going to get back.
Celebration. It's a celebration.
Celebrate good times, come on.
Let's celebrate. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright. Celebrate, it's alright. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate, it's alright.
And that was Cool and the Gang, Celebration. You're listening to Phoenix 98 FM with Gabby with Drive. I'm with you until 6 o'clock. I have mentioned that you can get in touch with me. I'm on Twitter. I am Mindful to Move. I am Gabriella Clark on Facebook. Or you can email me here in the studio. It's radio@phoenixfm.com. And I'm also glad to say that Steve is still with me. Steve Cook. He is a local artist and he is a local teacher of art. He runs painting classes, to be more precise. And we've been having a really, really good discussion so far. And now I've got to the part where I want to ask him after school. So we're going to go back in time. If you were listening before, we're going to go back in time and then bring it back to the present day. Back in school, did you do art A-level?
I did.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Well, can you remember your final piece?
Yeah. Yeah, oddly enough, I was talking to my son about this the other day because he's doing art at school. And I must admit, I don't want to put the school down. It wasn't the best teaching of art in the school because art wasn't taken desperately seriously. It was the sort of school that was very academically based, and the idea was really to get people into university and college. And I think my friend and I were the first two ever to actually go to art school. And I think we kind of tried to be dissuaded from taking part in this strange bohemian decision.
Was it a local school?
Yes, Campion in Hornchurch.
Oh, right, okay.
Boys' grammar school at the time. But yeah, my final piece, it was some sort of, these buildings, it was all to do with sort of collage, and I'd been sort of studying buildings, and I'd done this sort of semi-abstract picture of this kind of harbour scene, with sort of ideas of boats and buildings, but done in quite an abstracted sort of way. And that was okay, I remember sort of really being into it.
Yeah.
But I remember being quite envious of my friend Mick, who was the other one who was kind of good at art. His final piece was this wonderful mushroom cloud. It was an atomic bomb going off with the face of Jesus in the middle of this mushroom cloud. And it was really quite an astonishing piece of work. And I thought, God, that's good. Well, I've done this rotten old harbour scene, which looks really boring. And he's done this sort of really, you know, quite exciting, quite expressive piece of painting.
Oh, no.
So I felt totally diminished after that.
Yours might have required more skill, though.
Yeah, perhaps maybe so. Well, then you've got the whole thing here between, you know, what's the purpose of art? Whereas on the one side, you've got something that is skill-based. And perhaps on the other side, you've got something that is more expressive and more imaginative.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of whole thing, which is better, something that is terribly technically competently painted or something that perhaps isn't as technically competently painted but carries a lot more emotional punch. You know, that's why art, as you said before yourself, is so absolutely subjective, in that one person's going to look at this and say, well, it doesn't look like anything, it's just colours and shapes. And, you know, somebody else will say, well, it just looks like a photograph, why do it? So it can lead to all sorts of debate and argument, which is good.
No, it's quite exciting.
Why shouldn't it?
And then you went off and you did an art foundation.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I went to what was then Hornsey College of Art, and it's quite an exciting time because it's just after the student riots. I mean, this is going back generations. This is 1970. I was terribly young, obviously. But it was just after the 1968 Paris riots at the Sorbonne. And Hornsey was the art college that really took off in England. Hornsey, I think it was, and the LSE were both terribly radical. And I got there just after all this crazy stuff had been going on, where studios had been burned and torn apart. And, you know, it's in quite a state of flux when I was there. But it was a good year. And I was very pleased. And when you got to the studios, and that was the interesting thing as well, because you're quite good at art in the sixth form. I had this idea that I was going to go into art school and do things like design album covers and sort of, you know, crazy things like that. It was the minute you get there, and with half an hour, you just realise how poor you are, you know, and how good all the other people are. And you're asked to do these dreadful things like you'll have your tutor come up to you with a whole packet of straws, 20 sheets of cardboard, and say, I want you to construct the biggest, strongest shape you can from these materials. And you kind of think, well, what? I've never done this before.
Yeah.
And it kind of threw you. It made you think about things in a wholly different way.
And then after there?
After there, I went to do a fine art degree at what was then the North East London Poly at Walthamstow. And I was really glad, because two things I was very glad about. One was at Hornsey, they subdivided the classes alphabetically. So I was in the A to D's, being a cook. So I would have shared the same studio space as Ray Davis, who's one of my heroes, who was at Hornsey. And at North East London Poly, the wonderful Ian Dury went there. So that was good. But I had a kind of spat. I was a bit lazy when I was at North East London Poly. And I didn't really do much. You spend sort of too much time down the Bell in Walthamstow talking about art rather than doing it. And I got an absolute slating from a tutorial. You'd have three tutors sitting behind a desk. And basically they said, Steve, your work really isn't very good and you're not doing much of it. And the irony is that one of the tutors there, a guy called Fred Cuming, I've got one of his paintings now, and he shows work at the excellent gallery around the corner, Brandler Gallery, so I can totally recommend.
Oh, right. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, then.
But you see some of my work in it. It's very good.
But then your study actually became quite local, didn't it?
Yeah, I kind of dropped out, I suppose. You could do that in those days. Those were in the
you
days when you could get student
that.
Grants.
Yes.
And you got special equipment grants and things. You didn't have to pay the wretched stuff back like you do now. And I took a couple of years and just did sort of bits of jobs and things. Got a flat locally, and I thought, yeah, I know I'm going to do this. I want to go and get a degree. And I saw a degree at what was then the local college in Brentwood, the old Chelmer Institute, where they offered a combined studies course. It was great. It was fine art, history of art, and English literature. And I thought, oh, I like the look of that.
Oh,
and that was really good.
Okay.
And then went on and did a teaching postgrad at Goldsmiths.
Right. Okay, and then that has taken you nicely up to the present day.
The lofty heights I now perch on.
So yes. All of those years of kind of creating, painting and exploring different media means that you can now run the classes that are really, really open-ended. We've spoken about your watercolour classes in quite some detail. And then you have other classes that you run and you can decide for yourself what media you want to work in, and you are your role there, Steve, is to guide people and just, you know, maybe point them out in the right in the right direction.
Yeah,
maybe if they're
much.
Struggling with an aspect of the picture, you could say, well, if you did it that way, it might, you know, might get the effect that you're searching for.
Exactly.
And what I want to now ask you is about pastel, because pastel is something that a lot of people that I used to work with for my art A level and at Colchester Institute, where I did my art foundation, pastel was not something that a lot of people chose to use. Charcoal was a different matter, and I myself, I love charcoal. But I liked pastel. Pastel to me was the colour version of charcoal, you know, the bold
yeah,
effect
absolutely.
That you can get.
Very much.
But I just struggle with it because it's so.
It's easy to make a mess
thick.
With it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it gets all over your hands and.
Horrible
but,
messy stuff.
But yeah, and it's really thick and that's what I used to struggle with, and never knowing how hard to press the paper or how soft.
Well, again, it's a personal response. I mean, pastel, like any other media, can be used in a number of different ways. As you say, in a way, if you like charcoal, you probably would enjoy using pastel. And they're both what I would describe probably as direct media, where you don't really need a palette, you don't need a brush, you don't need water, you don't need linseed oil. You've literally got a piece of paper, you've got the medium, and you put it on directly. There's literally nothing between you and the piece of paper, so it's very much direct from head to hand to paper. And, you know, it's one of the beauties of it. I mean, pastel, you can work in lots and lots of different ways. Also, you have different types of pastel. You have what you would describe as soft chalk pastels, where you can blend with your finger, or you can blend with a blending tool. So you could sort of put colours on and soften them together to give quite a seamless effect. Also, you could use more things like hatching technique, where you're working in a more linear technique, where you put sort of colours on and cross-hatch them and do all sorts of things like that. And you've got oil pastels. Oil pastels are very chunky, quite difficult to use. You can't really use them in probably a subtle sort of way. With soft chalk pastels, you can achieve incredibly subtle effects. You can get a lovely flesh tone, you can get the bloom of fruit, you can get lovely sky effects. Like most of these things, it's a question of experience. Working on different types of paper, what I would advise people working in pastel is just don't buy cheap ones, because you just don't get a very good effect, you don't get a very good feel from the medium, and just use a good quality paper, a nice toned paper, something like a nice grey or a dark green or a brown. It's lovely for pastel.
Where would you recommend going locally for your art materials now? Because we did have Crafty Art.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a demise of the art stores. You had Crafty Arts, which is a very good store. You had Art Base in Hornchurch, was a very good store, and they've both closed. And I think, like so many things, given today's, I don't know, corporate society, where sort of supermarkets and God knows what are taking over, you've got big, almost art warehouses. I mean, my local town is Romford, and there you've got Hobbycraft, yeah, which is good. I mean, they sell everything. They sell everything at a reasonable price.
If you like art, in a kind of, it's like an art supermarket.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, absolutely so. There's no real element of specialism
there.
Which,
if you hate supermarkets...
I know. But you've got the range in Romford. The range is good.
But
you don't really have anybody who can give you perhaps more expert advice. You've got places, a good place to go to, if you fancy the day up in town, go up to Atlantis in the East End, up in Aldgate, which is an art warehouse again, but it's a specialist, it's art only. You've got expert staff there who will give you informed comment about what you want.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice place to go. I mean, the East End of London now is desperately arty. It's like a little bohemia.
There's a good place
Hoxton
in
and Shoreditch.
Don't ask me whereabouts, but I've come across a good place in Covent Garden.
It might be Cornelison's or somewhere like that.
It was down a side street. You wouldn't have come across it.
A side street in Covent Garden.
Unless you'd have known. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was hidden away, but it was brilliant. It was so good. I got some spray paints in there when I was at the London College of Communication. Printing.
Excellent.
Starting my graphics and advertising degree, which I didn't finish, I'm not going to lie. I haven't got a degree in graphics and advertising, but I don't really mind.
I shouldn't worry about that.
So, no, I'm not worried at all. But it has helped me with other things in my life, especially using Apple-related products. Now, I would like you to say when your classes are. Just reiterate where they are again, just in case people have only tuned in recently. And if you've got any contact details that you're happy to give, that would be great as well.
Sure. My classes are all based at Fairkites Arts Centre in the lovely London Borough of Havering, the cultural hub of Essex in Hornchurch. And they run every day of the week. I do 5 days a week, 12 classes a week, one Sunday a month in watercolour. And they're all in the Fairkites prospectus, and I believe they're all online details as well.
Oh, what is the website address?
It'll be London Borough of Havering, and it'll be under the arts there somewhere.
Just under the arts.
Yeah, just put in Fairkites Arts Centre.
Fairkites.
Fairkites. F-A-I-R-K-Y-T-E-S. It's a lovely building as well.
Are your
contact
details on there as well?
Yeah, they'll all be on there.
They're on there as well. I will need to write that down now so that I can upload it onto my blog. Thank you so much for coming in, Steve. It's lovely to meet you. First time I've met you as
well. It's my pleasure.
And I hope that you will actually come on my drive show. Phoenix choose to keep me on here. I might get chucked off the air.
Sure, I could be your local arts correspondent.
That would be brilliant. I'd really, really. need a
hefty one.
Can you believe it?
Struggling artist,
surely
don't you
just,
know?
Just speaking to me is enough motivation.
No, so it's been a pinnacle of my afternoon.
Oh, brilliant. Glad to hear it. Thank you so much for coming in and have a safe journey home.
Thanks ever so.
Shouting up to you, won't you come and give me a minute now? There's a message here for you.
News with the hair company Crown Street, Brentwood.
There's queuing traffic on the M25 anti-clockwise between junction 30 and 29 in the roadworks area, and slow traffic on the M25 in Greater London at the A282 QE2 bridge. If you're heading towards Chelmsford, there's slow traffic on the B1137 Springfield Road in both directions in Chelmsford between the Stanford Road Junction and the A1099 Victoria Road Junction. Wash Road is closed between the Lower Road Junction and the Prospect Way Junction because of bridge maintenance work. Major road works on the A130 Sanders Farm roundabout in South Benfleet as well at the A13. If you've got any news of the queues, or if you could tell me if those traffic lights are still on the Ingrave Road in between the traffic lights and the Wilson's Corner, do let me know.
If you have news of the queues, 01277 849931. Phoenix FM Travel with the hair company Crown Street Brentwood, creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222864.
FM.
In these days of social and electronic news everywhere, it's still good to spend time reading a newspaper. And a newspaper that's local, dealing with issues and stories that you want to read about. The Enquirer Group newspapers are packed with news, views, competitions and real in-depth reporting on the stories that are making today's headlines. With excellent sports coverage as well, make sure you pick up your copy of the Essex or the East London or the Thurrock Enquirer today. The Enquirer Group, a newspaper as it should be.
Every Monday evening at 10 p.m. on Phoenix FM, tune into the Interesting Alternative Show with me, Steve Davis. If you're wondering what type of music I'll be playing on the show, well, that's a tricky one to explain. Because if you've never heard of the musical genres Zool, Rio, Canterbury or Avant Progressive, then it will be very much a journey into the oral unknown for you. If you like something a bit different, though, then the Interesting Alternative Show will be for you. Every Monday night from 10 p.m. on Phoenix FM, the Interesting Alternative Show in association with The Money Shop, 1 High Street, Brentwood.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Another date for your diary. On the 19th of January, the Theatrical Costumer is organised by the Brentwood Museum Society, and it's a talk by Anne Harty. It will be held at the Gwendolyn Lewis Room of the Shenfield Parish Hall, Hutton Road in Shenfield. Why don't you give her a call or them a call if you need to know more of the details? You can call 01277 212 142. And for a full list of events, go to allthews.phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide, in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
You're listening to Gabby on Drive. A massive thank you to my guest, Steve Cook, for coming in to speak to me. We had a brilliant chat about art. I could have gone on all day, as no doubt you realised. Here is Ed Sheeran.
I'm gonna pick up the pieces and build a Lego house. Things go wrong, we can knock it down. My three words have two meanings, but there's one thing on my mind. It's all for you. And it's dark in a cold December, but I got you to keep me warm. If you're broken, I will mend you, and I keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging on now. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. Now you by numbers and color you in. If things go right, you can frame it and put you on a wall. And it's so hard to say it, but I've been it before. Now I'll surrender up my heart and swap it for yours. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. Don't hold me down. I think the braces are breaking, and it's more than I can dark in the cold December, but I got you to give me warmth. If you're broken, I will mend you, and I keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging on now. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you.
I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I will love you better now.
And that was Ed Sheeran. I am going to be with you here on Phoenix 98 FM until 6 o'clock this evening. And then at 6, you'll find that getting you home this evening is not, in fact, Gary Casley, I'm afraid. Perhaps he's already enjoying the holiday period, but it will instead be Mike Jones. So make sure you stay tuned for his lovely voice. He won't mind me saying that. He won't mind me saying that about him. Then on at 8, we've got Graham Stannard for a change. I'm pretty sure Graham's not normally on at 8. He's got what I like. I call it a really cool voice. He's got a really cool voice. I think he's got an American accent, but I could be wrong. And then if he's Canadian, he'll hate me now. And then at 10 p.m. there's the Interesting Alternative Show with Steve Davis, and that's in association with The Money Shop. So a brilliant lineup for you here on Phoenix. I have got some other guests in this week as well. On Wednesday, I have got Janine Jackson. She's